If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn them to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. And then we're going to go over a few chapters to Acts chapter 13 and read some scripture as well. Matthew 28, we find that the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Wow. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." I want you to notice there that Jesus didn't say go and make Christians. Now, we know that Christianity is a part of it. You can't be a disciple unless you're a Christian. But Jesus didn't say go make Christians. He said go make disciples. He said go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. So we see the principle of transferring the message or transferring the gospel. Then when we go to Acts chapter 13, John, I'll have to get you to advance for me, sir. It might help if I turn this thing on. Acts chapter 13. Now in the church at Antioch, beginning at verse 1. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. I have a question for you this morning. What is the purpose of the local church? If we were to privately poll this room today concerning the purpose of the local church, the variation of answers would be quite surprising. Now, if we did this corporately, I like what Brother Richard Kingery, he was my pastor for many years, what Brother Richard Kingery said. He said, we as believers, a lot of time follow the cow theory. In other words, if the cow theory is, if you pay attention, and you know, we used to do cattle when I was a teenager, and wherever the lead cow walks, that's where all the rest of them will walk. They predominantly, if they're on a destination, they'll walk in a straight line, and they'll eventually make a path. You can have 2 foot of snow on, and they'll know exactly where their path's at, and one will follow the other. Sometimes we're like that as believers. So if I was to ask publicly, Madison may say, "Well, I think the local church is this," and then somebody else is going to say, "Oh yeah, that's good. I'm going to say the same thing Madison had." But if we were to go around privately and poll the congregation this morning, the variation of the answers would probably be quite surprising. Some of these answers would be such as this. Many people viewing the church as providing personal care. There would probably be some of you that would say, the church is here to visit the homebound and those that are hospitalized. Some others would say, the church exists to pray for my needs and to serve me in particular. Others would say, the church is about assisting people through the important transitions in life, such as marriage and childbirthing and even death. Then there's those that would behold the church and as a means of more so in spiritual enrichment. And those people would probably say, well, the church exists for fellowship, our spending our time together. And then others would say, well, the church is about corporate worship. It's about us coming together and singing and praising. The others would say, oh, it's about discipleship. It's about life groups. It's about coming together and learning from one another and being taught. While others may say, well, the church is primarily about preaching of the gospel. And while each of these perceptions are valid, and by all means, each one of them have their place in the local church, I want you to understand, and drawing from the scriptures we read from this morning, the utmost responsibility of the church is still spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our responsibility as the church. That's why the local church exists, if you would. The other things are good. And certainly they, again, I'll reiterate, they're a part of it. But the primary function of the church is carrying the gospel message. Every organized group of believers, that's what we call the church, by the way, is subject to slipping into a maintenance mentality. We tend to forget that the church, we are the church, and we're here for a lost world, but instead, oftentimes the church takes on the mindset that the church is here for me. Statistics tell us that most people, after they've been a Christian 5 years and they become rooted and grounded in the church, they lose focus of being outward-minded or ministering out into the world. And the church, what happens to the church, and we hear so much talk, especially in the Western civilization, about the church being on a decline and the church dying. And part of that can be attributed to the church has become inward-focused. The church has become more about me. The church has become about my wants, my needs. What can I get out of this? Well, I pay my tithes, so I should have this. You know, I have my name on a seat, so I should have this. You know, I have a certain parking place that has been mine all of these years, you know. And the church becomes inwardly focused. And as the church becomes inwardly focused, what happens is the church, the body of the assembly of believers will begin to die, because when we have inward focus, we're feeding off of ourselves. When God has called us to go into the world and to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was reading this story the other day. I thought it was I thought this was pretty amusing. It said that many years ago, probably in excess of 20 years ago, that there was a U.S. post office being constructed in the great city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You know, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania is a great city. They don't have much of a football team, but it's still a great city. This elaborate postal facility was being constructed in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania at the cost of several millions of dollars. It came the time for the ribbon cutting. And the ribbon cutting was going to be a glorious, monumental day. Dignitaries galore were on the new post office property. The governor of Pennsylvania led the dedication. There was music played. There were accolades handed out, one right after another, and then the ribbon was cut to the post office. The inaugural customer walked into that newly constructed, multi-million dollar, elaborate, state-of-the-art post office facility with his letter in hand to be the first person to mail the letter in that new, multi-million, elaborate post office. And much to his surprise, when he went to mail his letter, there was no depository slot in the building. So the building was built, and it was there, and all the money was spent, and it was beautiful, it was elaborate, it was celebrated, but it wasn't functional. It wasn't functional. They could not deliver the mail because they could not receive the mail. Somebody had to, as the old adage goes, somebody had to lick their calf over. Okay? Somebody had to go back and put in a mail slot. Somebody had to make some adjustments. You know, and sometimes in the church, we have to make adjustments as well. Sometimes we have to, maybe not necessarily, not that there was anything wrong with the way we've always done it, but maybe we need to do a little something different. Maybe we need to rethink some things. Maybe we need to redo things. God's unchanging, but people aren't. We do. We change. And civilization and society changes around us. Without that drop box, that post office was crippled. It was 50% of what it's there to do was actually non-existent. So I use that illustration for the title of my message that I've chosen today in delivering the mail. And if you would, the mail for us today is the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That's the most, listen, writing hard letters and postcards is almost a thing of the past in our society today. But we have email, and email doesn't really, is not all that effective anymore. We have mass texting, text message, all these different things that we use now. But the truth of the matter is, we're still delivering message. There is no greater message to be delivered in the world today than the message of Jesus Christ, that Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And that is the message of the Great Commission. When any church loses its spirit for the Great Commission, it's surrendering its very reason for existence. Whenever, if a church loses its ambition for evangelism, and we're not about taking the gospel unto our community and ultimately unto our nations anymore, then we have really lost vision of why we exist, period. And we can do all kinds of things to help people. And certainly there's underwritten messages in all of those things that we do. We can have all kinds of different assistant agencies that we provide through the church. And again, all of those are well and good. But underline every and anything we do should be the gospel message that Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Because just feeding somebody when they're hungry is good, and we know it has a biblical purpose, but just feeding them is not going to save them. Just putting shoes on their feet is not going to save them. Just being friends with them, as good as it is, and I'm all about relationship, but that is that we can be friends with somebody and still watch them die and go to hell. It's about sharing that message. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. That's our mail. What was the AOL a few years ago? Their slogan was, "You got mail." Well, guess what? Every one of us have got mail to deliver. Every one of us in this room, we have, as believers, we have the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ to be delivered. God is a missionary God. The Bible is a missionary book. The gospel is a missionary message. The church is a missionary institution. And when the church ceases to be missionary, we are in fact walking in disobedience. And certainly the church has many responsibilities, but we only have one mission. Can I say that again? We as the church have many responsibilities. But we only have one mission, and that mission is carrying the gospel message of Jesus Christ. In other words, we deliver the mail. It has been said that a person can be no more spiritual than they are scriptural. But let me take that a little bit further. A church that is not founded on the Word of God will not have a heart for the world that surrounds them. But when a church becomes founded in the Word of God, and we study the Word of God, and in particular we're focusing on the Great Commission this morning, then our experience founded on the Word of God, we will have a heart for the world of God. Did not Jesus say that it's not His will that any man should perish, but every man should have every lasting life, and that includes you too, ladies. Isn't it evident throughout Scripture that Jesus came to save? He came to the lost house the sheep of Israel. He came to them. That is why He came to this earth for you and I, not just to give us a better life, but to provide us with the salvation that will bring us to eternal life in Him. That is the mail that is to be delivered. The church is a diverse church. It's a diverse community. In the diversity of Acts chapter 13 that we read from, we see there that we see the commissioning of these disciples displays various types of people. There's various skin color, there's cultural differences, there's backgrounds, and the backgrounds are varied from that of a thug to one of being a man of great success. There's all kinds of different people, even though there's only five that are named here. Levite, Barnabas was a Levite from Cyprus. Simeon, called Niger, means that he was a black man. He was from Niger, which means black. It means he was a man of color. Lucius of Cyrene was an ancient city in North Africa. He was from a different culture, a different type of people. Manan was an associate of Herod who stole from Herodias from her husband, who murdered John the Baptist. So he was a thug. And Saul was from Tarsus, and most of us know a little bit about Saul, don't we? He held the coat while Stephen was stoned. So we find that this group that is sent out is varied. It's all different kinds of people. I've got news for you. Everybody in this room is not like you. Thank God, right? Somebody, if you can't say that about yourself, just say it about the person next to you. Thank God. Thank God. We're from varied walks of life. We have different backgrounds. We have different histories. We have different ancestral lineage. We have all kind of diversity about us. No two of us are alike, but yet we're all called to carry the mail, the gospel message of Jesus Christ unto a world that is lost and dying and needs salvation. Because I've been hearing this all my life, but it stands to reason to me that it's becoming more and more true every single day. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. And I told people, I told somebody, well, we were in Thriving a few weeks ago with Dr. Lou Shirey, and I was talking to some of the different leaders there. In particular, I was talking to our speaker for the week, and we were about the same age, and he was talking about how that he's getting that age where you think about things differently. And I went up to him, I said, brother, I said, I just want you to know, I appreciate what you said about as you grow in age and you think about things differently. I said, I've been telling people for years, I'm in my Judas years. He said, what does that mean? I said, it means what I do, I must do quickly. I'm in that Judas season of my life. Not that I'm going to sell Jesus out, but what I do, I must do quickly. That's what Jesus told Judas to do. What I do, listen, time is running out on us. I don't care how old you are in this room today, time is running out on you. You can't redeem time. You can't pull it back. You can't save it. You can't lock it up in a box. Time is clicking away. What we do, we must do quickly. We must deliver the mail. We must carry the message that Jesus saves, and Jesus saves. So God works through our diversity. But I want you to notice something about these guys. They were diverse. We have five illustrations of diversity. But in those five illustrations, I want you to realize this. They're unified in character. And by unified in character, what I mean is there are three points that are common to these guys. Number one, they all five were spiritually minded. And I'm not talking about being so spiritually minded that you're no earthly good. But they were spiritually minded. They realized the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They were very sincere. They were very sincere. Listen, I take my Christian service very sincere. I take preaching the gospel very sincere. I take leading a church. I take our church very sincere. I think there is so much that is about the kingdom of God that oftentimes is considered in a nonchalant fashion, when all the time there is nothing that we should take any more sincere than the kingdom of God and the work of God, because it all equates to the saving of souls. And the third thing, as they were unified in character, is we find that they were unified in prayer and fasting. Let me tell you, you may not be able to go out and stand on a street corner and preach the gospel, or you'll never stand up in a pulpit. You may never go to the missions field, but there's not a person in this room that can convince me that you can't pray. You might say, "Oh, I can't pray like you pray, Pastor." Well, thank God you can. But you can still pray. There's not a person in this room that can't fast and seek the face of the Lord. There's not a person in this room that can't operate in the work of intercession and be unified in fasting and prayer. And then we identify that in these scriptures that missions is a call. You see, it was the Holy Spirit that issued the call for these five guys. They weren't making burgers and fries. Some of y'all get that later. I happen to like Five Guys. We all do too, don't you? I know. Yeah. We made y'all like Five Guys, right? Five Guys Burger and Fries. These five guys were called of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was working in this entire circumstance. The calling of God was intentionally selective. The Holy Spirit knew them by name, and He knew their background, and these guys, listen, they already were ministering, if you would, yet God was calling them to something much larger than they were already doing. He was calling them unto the world. When we are effectively serving God, we don't merely get to pick what we want and don't want to do. I would never have been a preacher. I would have never been a pastor. I was satisfied picking my banjo and playing gospel music, okay? From an economic standpoint, I had a better career than I ever will probably have ministering the gospel. But God has plans for our lives, and His plans for our lives are actually more important than our own plans. Did you realize that? And when we effectively serve God, we don't get to pick and choose. We just get to follow. And we get to follow His leading, follow His guide, and He will take care of us, and He'll bless us, and He will watch over us. Let me tell you this. I've been blessed to travel many times to be in many parts of the world, and we've got some dear friends here today that we've even got to travel with. And the fact of the matter is, I've often, and I still believe this with all of my heart, you better be called if you're going to be a missionary. Are you going to be in trouble? So God's calling people and He's using people. But the local church, us here today, we are the incubator for missions. It's the place where missionaries are born. Pam and wherever Scott's at, I lost track of him. Hey, y'all on opposite corners, you know, that's good, you know. Pam and Scott can tell you that missionaries are born in the local church. Missionaries born, Rick and Trish are now retired, but missionaries born in the local church. When God launched this missionary movement through the Apostle Paul, He did so through the local church. And since that time, the local church has remained the birthing place for new missionaries. When the local church captures the vision for reaching the world, you will not only witness missionaries being raised up, but I want to tell you what, and I think you can look around this room this morning and you can identify this. When the church captures, when their vision of missionary, you know, the Bible says where there is no vision, that means revelation, people perish. When we have a vision for the kingdom of God and the saving of souls and the work of missions throughout the earth, throughout the entire earth, then the church will find itself in revival. I've experienced this twice in my pastoral ministry. In my first church, way up in Grayson County, Virginia, and right here at Voice of Praise. Look around you right now. 10 years ago when we arrived, just a little bit over 10 years ago when we arrived at this church, we did good if we had 50 on a Sunday morning. Turn around and look and see what is in this place right now. Our total missions giving for 2024, what is it on that paper there, Latricia? Around $31,000, I think. $31,669 given in missions around the world, total giving from this church right here in little old Blue West Virginia. And God is blessing us for our faithfulness to carry the gospel unto the nations and all around the world. I believe that. That's not why we do it, but God blesses us in the doing. So not many of us will get to go, but all of us can send. Not many of us will get to preach, but all of us can provide. You may never set foot on the soil of Africa, Asia, Europe, Central America, South America, or any other country of the world, and it's possible you never leave the United States of America. But let me tell you what, you and I have a large part in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ around the globe. We are keeping missionaries in the field. We're putting them there and we're keeping them there. There's two commodities that are needed. Two crucial commodities for missionaries. The first one is, as I've already touched on, is prayer. We need to be praying. I'm not sure if Latricia's accumulated any, but we typically will, this time of year, we'll get new prayer guides that has every missionary, each one of those that you see in that picture, every one of them's listed in that prayer guide, and you can pray for them every single day. Pray for one every day, and you'll cycle through that prayer guide several times within the year. You can pray for them. The second is to put legs on your prayers. In life groups this morning, Doug said something about along the lines of putting legs on our prayers or putting something into action. But we put legs on our prayers. We pray for them, of course, and we pray for protection. Pray for them to have favor with people. But we offer prayers for provision. But in those prayers, we put legs on them by making that monthly commitment that we've been talking about this morning. And it keeps those missionaries on the field. Right now we have, on a monthly basis right now, we are supporting, as a church, we are supporting 7 people-to-people children. That means kids, that we're helping send those kids through school. We're helping take care of them. They're in various countries all over the world. And you can sponsor a child. Just see Sister Latricia that was up here earlier, see me, we can make sure that you get a specific child to sponsor. You can even pick your own child out. We're supporting 7, and I thought this really bizarre that we're hitting this number 7. We're supporting 7 missionaries on a regular basis. There's missionaries in Sudan. We have missionaries in Europe. We have missionaries in Asia. We have missionaries in Central America, right? We have missionaries at various points all over the earth. One of our goals early on when I came here to pastor was try to have as many vicinities, regions of the earth covered that we're supporting the gospel as we possibly could. We have funding coming in that as a church, we're supporting Living Israel. We are supporting missions work in Israel. We're supporting Coffee House Ministries, which is ministries that sort of done under the radar. It's not church like we think of church, but it's church that is done in a coffee house atmosphere. People come in to buy them a cup of coffee and they get the gospel message of Jesus Christ shared with them. gospel's going out in countries that are closed. People's lives would be at danger if they were to get caught preaching the gospel underground, if you would. Now I want you to never forget that the main objective of the local church is to carry that soul-saving gospel message of Jesus Christ unto all nations. We're projecting it in Bluewell, in throughout Mercer County. It's radiating over into Tazewell and Bland County and into McDowell County and probably further than we can imagine since with the means of technology. And all the other things that we do, helping the food bank and helping out the Mary's Cradle and doing our diaper run that we'll do later in the year and distributing several thousands of baby diapers throughout the county. All those things are pleasing and wonderful to God in their own right. But remember, we only have one mission. And that mission is to deliver the Great Commission, the gospel message of Jesus Christ unto all the earth. There's people that have been saved because of your giving and because of the faithfulness of Voice of Praise Worship Center. We may never know who on this side of eternity, but I believe that the gospel message, the mail is being delivered because of people that are faithful in supporting missionaries. I read this quote the other day and I thought this was simply wonderful. It says, if the business of the church is not about doing God's business, then the church has no business being in God's business. Can I read that one more time? If the business of the church is not about doing God's business, then the church has no business being in God's business. Hello. That's pretty good. I wish I'd have thought of it first and then I could have wrote it and put my name beside of it and I'd put it up on Facebook as one of my quotes. And now if I put it up, I've got to put unknown beside of it. So we all have our part in delivering the mail. Gospel message. It starts right here. It starts wherever you live. Whatever your 911 address is, wherever you work, whatever you do, delivering the gospel message starts right where you're at. But then it goes into the jungles of, it goes into the jungles of Peru where they set jungle fires. It goes into the Dominican Republic, where the mud is ankle deep for days on end and you come back with disease in your feet like I did, and there's people that are being, I read the other day, I can't remember the nation that it was one of the Islamic nations, that there were 75 people that were beheaded for the cause of Christ. Listen, the gospel starts here, but you are sending the gospel into all the world, even those places that you wouldn't even think about going. And because of that, God is blessing you, God is blessing us, and His kingdom is increasing. Thank you. Thank you for being kingdom givers and pursuing the kingdom of God. As they play and sing this morning, I want you to bow your heads with me though. This morning you've heard me talk about the gospel message. You've heard me chant several times, Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. But maybe you've never been saved today. I want to ask you that all important question. Are you saved? Are you ready to meet the Lord? If you were to die today, would you be with Jesus? Are you uncertain about where you would even be? Or do you realize, no, I'm not saved. I would be lost for all eternity. If you need to be saved today, without any embarrassment, I'm coming to get you. I'm not going to pull you out. But would you just slip up your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me today. Anybody in the room, I need to be saved. Is there one person? Okay, I take it by the lack of response that everybody in this room is saved. Everybody's on your way to heaven. I want you to look at me just real quick. And then I want you to look at the person next to you and say, you're a mailman. You're a mailman. You've got a message to deliver. You've got the gospel message of Jesus Christ to take to somebody. You have got, and I have the responsibility of taking the gospel around the world unto all nations. So today, as we come to towards the end of this service, we're just going to pray and we're just going to believe God's going to move on your heart. The card that you were given, it's a commitment. Latricia told you, we're not going to harass you. We're not going to come and write you a letter that you're behind on your giving. But it's just an act of faith commitment that you are going to support the missionaries of Voice of Praise Worship Center on a monthly basis. Some people will make a monthly commitment and then give it in one lump sum. That's okay. We don't care how you do it as long as you keep that commitment. Because what will happen in the days to come, we will be, the council and myself will review the commitments that you have made as a church, and we will be telling missionaries, yes, we can continue to support you, or sorry, but our funding is off and we can't support you. But so often what happens, more than normal, what happens is we get to send out an email and say, hey, missionary in Sudan, I've got good news. We're going to up our support by another $50 a month for you. Hey, missionary, wherever you're at, we've got good news. We're going to up your support by $25 a month. Hey, Brian. Hey, Brian, we've got good news. Brian is Pam and Scott's son-in-law that Whitney married, and he's over people to people, right? Yeah, he's over people to people. Hey, Brian, we've got good news. We're going to pick up 3 new children in people-to-people support. How much is that a month now, by the way? Is it still 25? I thought it was 35. 25? $25 a month to support a child. We just picked up 3 new kids for you this morning, you know. So now we don't be up to 10. You know, those are the kinds of reports that we like giving and transferring. But it's all based on what you commit to. So I want you to pray over it this morning. I want you to consider it as we pray. God, what would you have me to do? Father, as I come to you today, I thank you for the people that have come into this room. I thank you for the people that are watching by live stream or listening by internet radio. And God, today, I'm just believing that you are ministering and you are working in the hearts and lives of people. Lord, you're stirring our hearts to giving, to carrying the gospel message, to delivering the mail all over the world, the news that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Father, many of us will never get to go, but Lord, yet we understand we can send and we can maintain people that are faithful to deliver that message. So God, today, Lord, direct our hearts, direct our minds, and lead us into what you would have us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. God is good. The message is going to go forward.